do not enter a partnership without an exit plan.
Even if it's marriage, is that what you're saying?
I have to think about that one.
I have to think about that one, right? All right, this is Ola coming to you live from my Empire Pro Studios. On this episode, I have one of the legends. I'm so excited. It's ridiculous. So if anybody, the first people, I'm going to be just straight up honest with you right now. The first people, right, the first peoples, one half or one third of the peoples that give us the first accolade on a stage ever. This is a big privilege. You know, back in 2009, I had just gone through probably the one and only and the worst, you know, business crash I could possibly go through because of the 2008 recession in real estate. After successful 4 or 5 years offline, found myself online, found these guys. One day, they gave me a $1 trial or something weird like that. Maybe I think it was $9.99 or something like that. Before I knew it, 10 minutes later, I swiped my credit card, $600 in. Back then with Kesentai, I don't know if you remember Kesentai.
And I do. Yeah.
Before I knew it, I was all in. Before I knew it, I found myself in a program that literally put us in a challenge, a video challenge for like 90 days or something. Like, before I knew it, we went crazy. My brother and I went crazy, spam everywhere with our videos online. Before we knew it, everybody was talking about the MLM Brothers, the brand that we used to use. And all things because of this guy, because they put a system together that allow anybody to come online and brand themselves. And I'm so excited. This is about 2009. It's about 7 years later now. That was exactly September 2009. We found ourselves online and taking over because they had a system that made it easy to do that. And without any further ado, because I know he's going to tell us some really, really cool things. If you're not paying attention right now, this is for, I don't care if you're listening on a podcast or video. This right here is going to be a special one. Without any further ado, Norbert Olawiz.
Hola, man. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here, man. It's great to see you again. It's been a while since we connected. And, man, yeah. I can't believe that was 2009 when you guys got started 7 years ago. And I remember it just like yesterday. I remember the MLM Brothers taking over the internet. Who are these guys, the MLM Brothers? You guys just came onto the scene, you know, big time. And it was awesome. It was awesome to see you guys launch and take over and what you guys have been doing over the last few years. So great to be here, man. My pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? That kind of launch is absolutely necessary for anybody who wants to succeed in entrepreneurship. It's just like a rocket. You have to have launch. And sometimes people have the right systems in place to help you launch properly. Because anything opposite of launch is mediocrity, pretty much. And sadly, a lot of people start this business very slowly, and they're trying to test the waters. They're putting the tippy toes into the water, and then they wonder, you know, that launch, actually, I'm still benefiting out of that today because you know, it's really, really like a propeller, like a big one.
Absolutely. And I mean, all the, you know, you just think about all the connections that you made during that time because of that, the network that you've been able to build because of that, you know, people that you can now reach out to, you know, connect with potential JV partnerships. I mean, you know, the sky's the limit, but I love what you said there. You know, the launch is everything. When you're starting a business, I mean, you got to commit 110% to it. There is no dipping the toes into the water to see if this works. Oh, I hope this works. Let me try a few things. No, you got to go 110%. Forget about everything else that's going on. Sometimes forget about everything else that's going on in your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there is no balance. This, you know, these people talking about balance. Yeah, balance is for when you've got your business running and maybe you're, you know, you're in growth phase or something like that. Maybe then you can worry about balance. But when you're launching a business, there's no balance. Give me a break. That doesn't happen.
You got to go in or go home. Go hard or go home.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Now why do you think the average human being, right? I'm going to go a little bit opposite of my questions right now.
Yeah.
The average human being, right? They were taught to test waters, you know, don't throw all your eggs in one basket, and there's all those things that we grew up with. Why do you think that I think I was answering my question, but why, in your own opinion, do you think people do that?
Yeah, I think it's cultural upbringing, you know, it's kind of a mindset that we're brought up with, and it depends for different people, it depends on your upbringing. I mean, I know for me, I was surrounded by employee mindset. I was surrounded by, you know, my dad, who worked for the government back in Poland when it was under communist rule. So there's a completely different philosophy, a completely different, you know, perspective on the world. Yeah. And then, you know, coming here as an immigrant, you know, growing up with an immigrant mindset and an immigrant perspective, and my parents working hard to try to make ends meet. I know, speaking just personally for myself, when I got into my early 20s and, you know, I was interested in network marketing and getting into entrepreneurship and starting my own business, I literally had to reprogram my thinking. And it was a matter of reading the books and listening to the CD tapes and surrounding myself around successful people who thought completely different to the way that I thought. And, you know, that's one of those approaches. Yeah, that's what so many people, we're taught that from our teachers, from our parents, even on media, right? Don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? Right. Mitigate risk. Well, you know, that might work for some people, but, you know, look at Richard Branson as an example. He takes risks all the time, and he's successful because of it. And as entrepreneurs, you know, that great saying that we talk about with entrepreneurs, you jump off the cliff and you build a parachute while you're falling on the way down, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as entrepreneurs, we approach life, we approach business, we approach, you know, everything that we do in our life completely differently. And sometimes it takes risks. It takes failing miserably sometimes, right? But you just have to look at those things in a different way. So it's so much about shifting the mindset. And, you know, dealing with students who are trying to get into this game, you know, that's one of the biggest challenges that we have, is helping them to shift their mindset so they're actually able to apply what we teach them to do.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Now, this entrepreneurship, your story, how did you find yourself in this?
Well, you know what? I believe I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. And even in high school, I had a friend, and together we actually, I remember it just came back to me right now, because I was going to say we had this t-shirt business that we started in high school when I was about 15 or 16. But actually, before we started the t-shirt business, we did some chain letter thing. Like, you know, we got some chain letter thing, and we actually, like, oh my goodness, I can't even believe we did this. Like, silly kids, right? You know, I think I was probably like 13 or 14. You know, that was kind of the beginnings of it. But we started a t-shirt business when
but
I was...
But a chain letter is essentially a hack.
Well, no, I mean, it's a total scam, right?
It's illegal, but it's a hack.
It's completely illegal. Absolutely. But, you know, you're thinking differently, right? You're thinking differently, even as a kid. Yeah. So, yeah, we started our own t-shirt business when I was 15, 16. We were pretty young, and we sold a bunch of t-shirts. We never made any profit, because we saved up our money. We bought a t-shirt printing press that was sitting in my basement. I remember that my parents were like, what are you guys doing? But we saved up our own money. We bought it by ourselves. And that was kind of our first experience. And I knew, like, going into college, I went into college for theater school.
Okay. And
the reason for that was my sister, she went down the traditional corporate path. She was going into advertising and marketing. And I knew that I did not want to go down the traditional path. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew I did not want to go down the corporate path. I did not want to sit in a cubicle and work for a big corporation, work 9 to 5. I knew I wanted something different. Theater at that time was something that I was good at. I enjoyed. I loved it. So I decided to
plays and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, into acting. So I thought I was going to pursue acting in my early 20s. And I moved across the country from Toronto to Vancouver, and started to pursue acting. And, you know, that took me down a different path. But early on, the year before I left for theater school, some guy, I don't even know how he met me or how he introduced me, but he introduced me, he invited me to a hotel meeting. Next thing I know, I'm a 19-year-old kid. I'm in his van. We're going to a hotel meeting by the airport. And I'm seeing these circles drawn on a board, pictures of boats and nice fancy houses. Right. And my eyes just opened up. I was like, what is this? What did I just see here? But once I saw it, I couldn't let it go. Because I realized, here's people, they're making money in a completely different way than anything I had been taught or I had been exposed to. Right. Here's people that are talking about leverage, talking about leveraging the efforts of other people. And that just, you know, completely opened up my mindset to seeing, oh my God, there's different ways to do this. I didn't do anything with that company, but 4 years later, when I was bouncing around from job to job, just trying to make ends meet, you know, paying the bills, he actually tracked me down across the country and got me back into the world of network marketing. I think I was probably about 25 years old. And that began the next 6 years of struggle and failure in network marketing.
6 years.
Yeah, 6 years, man.
6 years. That's crazy. Now, 6 years. My next question is going to come from 6 years, okay? What is it inside of your brain that will make you keep going with 6 years of struggle? Why is it that year one, you didn't be like, yeah, forget this. This is not going to work. Year two, three, four, five. What is it that kept you going?
Insanity? I mean, as entrepreneurs, I think all of us, I think as entrepreneurs, we are a little bit crazy. I mean, there's decisions that I've made in my life that I continue to make as an entrepreneur that I think normal people would look at me and say, what are you, crazy? Yeah. But, you know, for me, it was seeing that there was something possible. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't have the skills. I didn't have the network. I didn't have the confidence. You know, I didn't have any of those things to actually allow me to create success. But I saw the possibility. And I think that's the biggest thing, is when you create this vision for yourself. And I guess that's what I did, because I remember I was working a valet job in Vancouver at one point, you know, parking people's fancy cars. And I would daydream the whole day about the car that I wanted to buy and about what my life would be like when I finally achieved success in my business. And I was obsessed with it. I mean, it wasn't just like a passing thought. It was a vision that captured me, and I couldn't let it go. Yeah. And I mean, once you create a vision for yourself of a future that you want,
right?
I don't know about you, but I'm a persistent, you know, stubborn type of a person.
Right. Yes.
When I catch on to a vision, I am not going to give up. I don't care how much I have to struggle. I don't care how long it takes me. I will not let go and I will not give up. And I think that's what it was, because at that point in my life, I didn't have any other options. And maybe that's what made it easy for me. I didn't have a degree. I didn't have a potential to get a good job. Yeah. I was bouncing around from job to job. I was in debt. There was no way I was going to pay off that debt, you know, working a job making $15, $25 an hour. It wasn't going to happen. So I knew I had to do something different.
Now, the degree, when you say degree, having a degree and things like that, you know, people, those of us that went through all the schools you can possibly go through, you're definitely right. That's an out. And when you have an out, it's a curse when you're trying to build entrepreneurship, especially if that's not really what you want to do. But it's a curse at the back of your head. This thing keeps telling you that you can always go back to that. But that's not really how you want to feel, right?
Absolutely. I think that might be a challenge for some people. I know I've coached and I've spoken with some people like that, you know, where they have a successful career or they have degrees and they've got the potential to just to get a nice job because they have the skills to do that.
Yeah.
I think that can be more challenging because you know, you try to start your own business, you realize, my God, this is nothing like my job. This takes a whole different level of skills. And it's easier, I think, to quit, to say, you know, I could just go back to that comfortable six-figure job I already had.
Yeah.
So,
you know who Grant Cardone is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Grant Cardone, you used the word earlier, obsessed. I think that's the name of his new book. And it's true. You have to be obsessed. You have to be crazy. You're not normal. You can't act like normal people. You can't think like normal people. The moment you give room to that, the moment you find yourself in that opposite of crazy average lifestyle, and that's clearly not what we want to be. He actually said, anybody who is making $50,000 doing your own business, or that's your goal, you want to make $50,000 a year, that you should put a bullet in your own head. And those kind of harsh words are the kind of reality that you want to have as an entrepreneur. If you don't have like big, big goals and think big, you find yourself just scrambling for years and wasting time.
Yeah, I mean, God, when you said that, I was like, 50,000, what are you talking about? That doesn't make, I mean, if you're going to start a business, you're not going to try to make 50,000. I could go get a job and make 50,000.
Let's get a job, right?
It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to have a job and make 50,000 than run a business and make 50,000. If you're going to put the sweat, the tears, the blood, you know, all the energy that it takes. I mean, I was up last night, I was up till 1:30.
Yeah.
On a project. I had a 14-hour day yesterday because I'm working on several projects and I needed to get things launched.
Right.
And I've got deadlines and I had a bunch of other appointments today, so I knew I wasn't going to be able to finish it today. So right. I was up to 1:30 last night working on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, and this show is about that. It's about telling people the reality of being an entrepreneur and running a business. You absolutely need to love what you do and be passionate about it. If not, it's not going to be a good deal for you. It's going to be a very stupid deal. To be working till 1 a.m. So it's about loving what you do. We're going to get into all of that, you know. So, quick question for you. I've never seen, one thing I love about MLSP, and MLSP, you're not a part of MLSP any longer.
No, I had to make a decision a few years back. Yeah, it was a tough decision, man. That's one of those things. It was interesting because I actually just read a website from another guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's his, I forgot his last name. I think it's Stu McLaren. He was the creator of, Wishlist Member. And he wrote a blog post about when he decided to leave his company. He decided to leave Wishlist Member. I mean, he built this incredible, successful business.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And I read that story and I was like, oh my God, that's me. That's what I went through 3 years ago. Plus a couple of other things that were going on in my life. But
yeah.
it was a very difficult decision to make. But, you know, sometimes I look back at it and I think, I don't know if that was the right decision. And then other days I look back at it and I say, that was the decision I had to make. Otherwise, new opportunities that I've got right now would have never come my way. And new
now, I know we're very modest as entrepreneurs and stuff. And we'll try to word it all nicely. I don't know if you saw the interview I did with Dave Wood and stuff like that.
I didn't know.
let me ask you a question, right?
Yes.
To probably help you there. Does it have anything to do with partnerships and the curses of partnership? You know, partnership has some really good things to it. Does it have a lot to do with the curse that comes with the partnership?
You know what? Not for me. For me, I've been really blessed and I have amazing relationships in my life. And my partners, Brian and Todd, we were the best partners. Honestly, and
yeah.
I still love the guys. We hang out all the time. I go out to their events. I still host their events. So for me, it wasn't about partnerships because our partnership was fantastic. It was great. I couldn't ask for better partners, honestly. Mm. So partnerships for me have been a very big part of my business and a very important part of my business. And we can talk a little bit more about that as well because I'm a big proponent of partnerships and collaboration.
Okay.
And I know there can be challenges in partnership because anytime you're in a relationship, there's
absolutely
challenges, right?
Yeah.
But no, for me, it wasn't about partnerships. My partnerships have been really good.
Okay. Beautiful. Yeah. Now, I'm glad that you said that. There's one thing I love about the platform that you, Brian and Todd created was that it was really never about you guys. You know, you're going to have to scratch the surface a little bit to find out who the co-owners of that platform was. And the system did a great job at anybody who wanted to brand themselves. You have the likes of Dick Wood came out of that, Ray Higdon, Tracy Walker, Nicole Cooper. I mean, you could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
And of course, the Eminem Brothers, right?
Of course, yes.
Came out of that system, right? So you guys did a great job at the benefit of self-branding, the system as its own brand, and that system is one probably of two or three that's still around after so many years, right? And so clearly something was being done right. Another thing I noticed that you never see anywhere being mentioned what the revenue of MLSP was or is, right? Based on obviously your insider, what kind of revenue was MLSP pulling in 2009? We're in 2016. What kind of, you haven't been with them really in 3 years. what kind of revenue were they pulling in 2013?
Wow, talking numbers. Okay, so, well, when we initially started, we went, when me and Todd initially launched it, and we brought Brian in about in the third month or so. So our first year, we went from zero to 2.2 million in 12 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was our first 12 months. And, you know, that just blew everything for the three of us. That was, you know, that was a whole new world because yes. we'd never been at that level. And, you know, it was a huge new learning curve at that point.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so we averaged between three to five million a year. On revenue. So now, I mean, I think now the company's probably close to breaking 50 million, I think. But I don't know because I haven't been in the books in the last couple of years.
Right. Okay. That you know, I always like to talk some numbers so people know that we're talking to people that have truly walked the walk, you know. Now, at 2, 3 million, 4 million dollars, forget that. Even at $500,000, right? It's a different type of problem that you start having.
Absolutely.
Right? Running a business at that level, it's not just about the money. Now you're responsible for deliverabilities. You're responsible for fulfillment of sorts. You guys used to do even some physical products, you know, back then, right? Now, what kind of problem, what's the biggest problem you've encountered when it comes to running a business at that level?
Structure. Yeah. For us, it was structure because none of us had a corporate background. And one of the things that we really needed, was some type of a person with a corporate background that could help us structure the company better, get the right people in the right places. Management was a challenge for us. We didn't have the right people managing. So it was structure and corporate organization that I think created roadblocks for us. And I think if we had that, we could have gone even bigger potentially. Potentially. I see that, you know, now looking back, right? I see that as roadblocks. So with the management, the organization, and again, and that comes down to people. We had great people on the team. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have great managers on the team.
Right. And I, you know, I couldn't tell, you know, because I've been a part of it. and I could tell that there's a problem with structure, you know. And but I don't know if it was because it's part of my growth. Maybe I didn't pay attention. But I couldn't tell. Even up to today, I can't really tell. It seems like everything is all well. But I know from my personal experiences that, of course, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And there are probably just some people have better ways of covering it up. Now, here's the thing. I have to be honest, okay? When, in 2010, 11, you know, because my creativity runs wild, like most entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah.
And I have to put it in a box. I have to like, hey, stop, right?
Yeah.
And structure comes when you need to tell creativity to stop. I have some things already on the table that I haven't executed or bring down to a place of perfection. And before I know it, I'll go like this, get that momentum. Another creativity comes and you plug in the middle of that. It kills everything you got going on. Right? And that's a big challenge. Actually, I think the only way to really fix that for entrepreneurs specifically, I think, is through a mentor. Because then a mentor will kick you in the butt and say, stop. Right? I think, especially with the noise out here on this internet land here, there's always new ideas. There's always somebody saying something that's sparking up new ideas in your brain, and you have to really put that in check. Right? You guys have to experience that?
Oh, absolutely. So one of the great things that I love about partnership, okay, is that you've got different personalities and different energies. So there's actually a guy that I'm working with right now, and he reminds me a lot of Brian. He's a young guy. He's 22 years old. I mean, he's just passionate and driven. He's on fire, okay? And I'll talk about Brian because Brian is exactly the same way, right? Yeah. Brian is the kind of person that he is living in the moment, and he is just
an artist.
He is an artist. He's an artist. Absolutely. He's living in the moment and he's just creating. He's so focused on what he's doing right now and you can't stop his energy, right? He just needs to be going right now. I'm trying to always look 5 steps ahead and I'm looking at things from different angles and I approach things a little bit slower, a little more cautiously, right? And so between the two of us, that was a good balance. That was a good balance because he could drive and I could pull back. He could drive and I could pull back.
Right.
So one of the benefits of partnership is that, especially if you're one of these creator types, you know, you can have a partner that can reel you back, that can keep you on focus, that can keep you on track. But right. Even within partnerships, it's always really hard to see yourself, right? Like when we think about personal development and personal growth, or we think about ourselves in relationship, you know, we can always look at somebody else and say, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this and this.
Right.
Well, I can't believe they act like that and that. But then it's really, really hard to actually be able to self-examine ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? And
it's sometimes self-awareness now.
It's that self-awareness. And every single one of us has blinders. If you think that you know yourself and you know your business, you're fooling yourself. You don't. We all have blinders. And that's where the benefit of a mentor or a coach comes in. This is why so many successful entrepreneurs hire mentors and coaches.
Right.
For the one single reason that it's somebody outside of you, outside of your business,
right,
that sees everything from a completely different perspective. And in 1 second, they can say, but Ola, you're not looking at it this way.
Right.
You're missing this completely. But Ola, 3 weeks ago, you said you wanted this, and now you're going in this direction.
Yeah. You know, Entrepreneur.com had a study that they did, somebody did it and somebody wrote about it. And they said the number one thing that entrepreneurs are not taking advantage of is a mentor.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the number one thing. So it's very important to really pay attention to that and just know at the back of your head that it's there. That way, when you're going off, you can say, okay, let me call myself to order here, stuff like that. Oh, very cool stuff already, man. A lot of nuggets here. You know, just last week, we went to a wedding with my wife, and we were walking into the reception area. You know, they had this cocktail thing. You know, you could grab a little snack here and there. So at the hotel, they had this big mirror, right? So I was dressed in the native African attire thing. And in my head, I don't know, it was weird. In my head, I had a different idea of what I look like when people are saying hello and they, you know. So when I saw myself in the mirror, I was like, whoa. I just looked totally 100% different from what I thought I was looking like. Not like I didn't look at myself in the mirror, but once you're embodied and you're just living life on, you're not always what you perceive yourself to be. And it's so important that entrepreneurs know that as we move forward in business, you know?
Absolutely.
Crazy stuff. Now, let's get into a little bit of numbers, something similar to numbers.
All right.
Sales and conversion. What's your mindset when it comes to sales and conversion?
Sales and conversion. What's my mindset? Thinking about people. So I think it's really easy as internet marketers for us to get a little too concerned with sales and numbers.
Numbers.
And we look at the numbers. We look at the numbers. We look at the percentages and the conversion rates. And at the other end of those conversion rates are people, our customers, our clients, our tribe, the people in our audience, the people that we're communicating with, the people that we're building a relationship with.
Right.
You know, when I'm thinking about increasing my conversions, I'm not thinking about, you know, well, what color should I switch my landing page? And should I use a small button or a big button? And I'm not really thinking about all those little technical things. We can do that. We can hire people to do that. But for me, it comes down to people. I put myself into the shoes of my viewer, of my visitor, of my prospect, of my customer. Right. And I'm trying to experience their experience and trying to think, well, what do they need? What am I not giving them?
Right.
How am I not fulfilling on my promise that I made to them? Right. I'm trying to think about their experience. And I think, you know, I think that's one of the a very powerful skill that we all need to develop as marketers, if we're going to be successful marketers, is we need to really be able to put ourselves in the shoes of our prospect, in the shoes of our customer, and really try to experience what they're experiencing, right? What is it that they're needing right now? What are they looking for? How can I speak to them, you know, to really capture their attention and share with them exactly what I can give them?
Now, to be fair, right? You know, NLP, they're selling things, visions, they're selling colors that affect people's emotions.
Absolutely.
That make them, and they're, you know, there are sales, crazy sales people like Cedric Barris and Grant Cardone that would tell you, no, push them over the hedge because they're not going to go over if you don't push them, right? And there are certain things like that. Where do you position that in just taking care of people? You know that there are certain aura and scenario where they take action that you want them to take, and you can't just rely on them understanding your language.
Absolutely. No, good point. So it's not just a matter of understanding. So it's understanding their experience, but then understanding how can I get them to take action, right? Because I know that my solution, my product, my service, my offer is going to help them.
Right.
It's going to help them overcome a problem or a challenge. So now it's a matter of me being able to take that leadership position, and you have to as a marketer, as a business owner. You're trying to sell your products and services. You know, you're not asking for permission. You're not asking for, you know, would you like to purchase my product? No, I'm assuming that my product is the best thing for them. Right. But I need to understand, how can I communicate that? How can I make them see? How can I help them to see that my product is the best solution for them?
So seeing them as people is not it's mutually exclusive to seeing the technical aspect of it as well. You're not saying that. You're just saying you're better off seeing them as people. It will help you even in tweaking those other things.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not negating any of the NLP or sales techniques or anything like that. But in the end, you know, I want my customers to have a good experience, right? In the end, I want my customers to speak positively of their experience with my brand and with my business. And that's, you know, that's my philosophy in business, and that's what I strive for. I know that there's other people, and I've been around them, who just focus on the numbers.
On the numbers, right? I absolutely agree with you, because, you know, I have this, you know, there's three P's, people, profit, and process. And two of those, no, not people, profit. Profit is actually on the back end. That's a byproduct. People, product, and process,
right?
And those, if not all three, those two P's right there, process and people, is about the people. And if you don't, because process is about giving them an experience that will absolutely serve them, but also make the process of getting to the product, which the product is supposed to serve them, but the product being good is not enough. It's about the people and the process. It really has to work hand in hand.
Absolutely. And see, this is the mistake that I think a lot of entrepreneurs make, is they think that their business is about them. Oh, I've got this awesome idea. I have this amazing product. I have this amazing talent or skill that I'm going to give to other people. No, you've got to think about the people that you're serving. How am I going to serve them? What do they need? What do they want? And how can I best serve them? That's my philosophy. That's my approach to business. You know, other people might disagree with me on that.
Well, if they disagree, I don't. I absolutely agree with you. So I teach real estate wholesaling, fix and flips, holding multifamilies units in one of our courses. It's called RFlipCoach.com. What's your mindset when it comes to real estate as a wealth building tool and strategy?
I don't know much about it. I know that it's one of the, you know, one of the pillars of building wealth. And so I know that it's definitely an important element in your overall, you know, strategy. I would say. For me, you know, I've never gotten into real estate investing as a process, but it's something that I've always been interested in. And again, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, right now I still need that focus.
Right.
I still want focus. Right now, I get my passion and out of internet marketing and teaching and training and doing what I do. Yeah. So I keep a narrow focus on that at this
point. And you have to. The reason why I always ask that question is because I want people to realize that most entrepreneurs have it at the back of their brain. I said, I got to get to that as soon as I can. But you need focus and balance, you know, that you need between focusing on what you're doing right now, becoming the best at it, and get that before you get there. But, you know, we know for a fact that 66% of the top 10% wealthy people in the world are there because of real estate.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Cool. Now, here's the good thing. The reason why I also ask that question is because when we talk sales and conversion, we talk mindset, we talk any of this stuff, any number of the technicalities you need in real estate does not matter. That is something you get to later. That's just skills. You can read that in a book. But really, what drives people in our business as internet marketers, network marketers, real estate investors, what drives is the mindset, right? The mindset. Somebody is struggling. They say, you know, I've heard it before. It was weird to me the first time I heard it, right? Somebody said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just need the right mindset. For me, I'm like, okay, just get the right mindset. Why do you think somebody is talking like that?
I just need to get the right mindset. You know what? I think it's because maybe it's more about habits. You know, it's like they know that they're self-sabotaging.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they know that there's ways that they're approaching their business or they're approaching their life where they're self-sabotaging.
Right,
but maybe they just don't know another way.
Mm.
Haven't experienced another way yet. There's probably some challenges in their life at this point that aren't allowing them to maybe make some big decisions or some big choices. You know, maybe they're at a point where they need to make some big decisions and some big choices.
Yeah.
They're a little bit scared to make those big decisions and those big choices. And maybe it's a little bit of an excuse.
Right. Yeah. I like the word you just used, which is habit. So sometimes your focus on mindset is maybe you're an MLM or you hear this teaching all the time.
Yeah.
But you're still stuck.
You're still stuck in your habits.
Right. But could that be connected to having a mentor too? You don't have a mentor giving you some kind of a role to follow or some kind of to do, right? Could it be because of that too? Because, I mean, I still don't get the point of saying I have a mindset problem. Okay, fix the mindset problem. Is it that you just stop right there? You don't know that it's time to worry about the habit or nobody's telling you?
I think that's a great place for a coach to step in. That's a great opportunity to, you know, to have a coach and benefit from a coach. Mm-hmm. Because again, somebody from the outside is going to help you to see the issues and the leaks and the thinking, the thoughts and the words that you use, that you choose to use,
right,
that are holding you back. And it's always easier if you have a coach that's able to help you and point you out with that. Absolutely. Right.
Now, back in 2010 or 11 or something like that, we went on to create our own system. I computer engineering, I know HTML and all this stuff. So, you know, again, my creativity was going wild too. So I decided to create my own system and just drive my own system through it. And we stopped being active affiliate with MLSB, right? But, you know, at the time we had a lot of people teaching outsourcing. Teaching, get this person out. I hired a few outsources myself, you know, but lo and behold, eventually I found out there's such a thing, you know, coming from the real estate world, there's no such thing as chargeback, right?
Oh.
You start experiencing, you know, you get your own merchant account, you start collecting money by credit card. It sounds all so simple, but you find out, like, oh my God, they send me all this bunch of thick thing, I got to respond to it, and first of all, you're pissed off that somebody even took your offer when they're not serious, right? And then now you have to respond to it. And a lot of time, you have wasted time talking to that person on the phone. You know them personally. You've helped them. But then they just disappear to go do that, right? So I'm sure you've experienced that. You've experienced that in the past, right? So I know hands on how difficult it is to try to leave the system and go start your own thing. How big is system for you, either to you or to your students that you're coaching?
So how important is having some kind of a system that you can leverage?
Yeah.
Well, it depends. I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, the whole range of different people that might be listening to this podcast, you know, entrepreneurs in different businesses. You've got different ideas. I think the bottom line, if I can sort of generalize this for everybody, is anytime you're looking to start a business, you always want to look at what systems can I use that'll simplify my processes, right? So whether it's as simple as using an email autoresponder to simplify your email communication, okay, that's, you know, at a very simple level.
Yeah.
Or as an affiliate marketer, you know, as a marketer, if you're trying to get started online in an online business, you know, what products can I sell so I don't have to create my own products to begin with, right? So I think as business owners, we should always, especially when we're first starting our business, we should always be looking at what things do I need to do myself and what things can I find a system for that can help me with that process, right? And this is one of the reasons why for online business, you know, I've always been a proponent of getting into affiliate marketing first. You know, if you're just trying to start an online business and you want to create your own products and deal with your own merchant accounts and your own fulfillment and customer service and all of that, I mean, you know, that's go for it, but why not start in affiliate marketing first, where you don't have to worry about that stuff, and just worry about building your brand, building an authority, building an audience, sell somebody else's products, and then you can start to generate cash flow, build up revenue, build up a positive cash flow, and then reinvest that money to then help so you can hire people or purchase the software or the systems to help you with those processes when it comes to actually selling your own products, because then you're dealing with a whole new range of problems and challenges.
Yeah.
So I think it's always really important to look for systems that you can leverage. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's all an illusion anyway. You have this idea you're just going to do it all. Some people say, you keep 100% of it. No, you don't keep 100% of nothing.
Nothing. Oh, my God.
You don't keep 100% of nothing. It took me about 1 year into the deals of merchants to find out that they're swiping about 3.5 to 5% of every money that comes to me, and I never accounted for it.
So these are the things we don't think about sometimes, you know, when we're new, when we're getting started, and then you don't realize that some merchants will hold. We've had merchants, they'll hold $50,000-$60,000 just as a reserve.
Yes,
just in case you have cashbacks or chargebacks.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all things that you never know. Or then, you know, I mean, we've got so many of these stories. I mean, when PayPal held $60,000 of ours in their first 6 months.
Yeah,
you know, they just decided to hold $60,000 for 6 months, and we
probably how you decided to never use PayPal again.
That's when we decided to.
That's exactly what I went through, man. Exactly what I went through. I had to like, okay, no PayPal as an option, you know. And I had to literally, because when you use one shopping cart, which is what I use, and when you use it, if it's a one-time payment, you don't get to turn off the PayPal. So the only way to turn off the PayPal is to make it a recurring bill. So I make it a recurring billing, but make further recurring billing $0.
Right.
That way, when I get to it, maybe once every month, I will turn them off anyway, you know. But to avoid having to use PayPal, and PayPal was notorious for that some few years back. They were holding people's money back and causing a bunch of trouble. What do you see yourself in 5 years, man?
Oh, that's always a tough one. Well, right now I'm focused on building a bigger online brand and impacting more people.
Okay.
So that's really the big thing. I've got, and that's a whole new challenge in a whole new world that, again, I don't have that much experience with. And I know it already in this past year, it's opened up so many new challenges, you know, thinking about my approach and how I want to approach it, how I want to build my brand, who do I want to serve, and how am I going to reach those people? And you know, we did some amazing things with MLSP. We've impacted so many people through the years, but I know there's always somewhere bigger to get to. Mm-hmm. And, that's really what I'm looking for right now is I want to take all the experiences that I've had over the last 10 years and bring them to more entrepreneurs. There's so many more people coming online now. Mm-hmm. There's so many more people that are seeing the online space, the internet space, as an opportunity to create a life, to create a business, you know, to take their passion, their skills, their talents, and bring it onto the internet. And I want to help as many people as I can to do that and to accomplish that.
Right. If I'm not mistaken, I think you had a project, was it last year or 2 years ago, with Jonathan Broad or something like that? Do you have something like that?
That was a few years back. We were both kind of in transition at that point, and it was an interesting experience for us as well. Mm-hmm. We learned a lot from it. It was a learning experience. We'll leave it at that.
As always.
but he was really passionate about his solar project. Right. And he was just at the beginning stages of that, still in the idea phases and the initial kind of phases. And so as soon as things started to take off for him there, he had to put all his focus in that. You know, I won't speak for him, but I think at that point, that project was sort of still him holding on to his presence in the online marketing space.
Yes.
And kind of not able to quite cut that tie yet. Mm. You know, and that was sort of his last little thing in trying to not cut that tie. But he knew that his passion had to be focused on this solar project. And now that business, you know, they've been doing some amazing things in the last couple of years since he's launched that business. So, you know, absolutely, he had to focus his energy.
You know, I thought I was the only one that goes to things like that for some weird reason. That's why you should talk to other people. That's why I love what I'm doing right now, because isn't it great? I thought I was the only one that go through this kind of thing, where you feel like I have this big other thing, right? But I'm trying to do this, but I think I'm going to be up here over there. But I think this one is slowing down, because if you're not growing, you're dying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you feel like you're still older than to, at least you're still bringing in this, but you're looking at such a, and Jonathan is a good guy, because I helped him, I did a promotion with him a while back here that was fun to get to know him a little bit too.
Yeah.
But it's clear now that we all have the same struggles as entrepreneurs. At every level you get to, there's a different animal entirely.
There is. Yeah, there totally is. And I think it's important to have these, you know, these kinds of conversations. I know for myself, because I'm a bit of a lone wolf, mm-hmm. I know for sometimes we can feel a little isolated. And especially when we're going through difficult times in business and in life, it's really easy to kind of isolate ourselves.
Right.
And maybe not reach out to other people and ask for help, or maybe even just have a conversation and bounce ideas off of each other and say, hey, you know what, I'm really struggling with this.
Right.
I know for me, I've got a big difficulty with that. But for me, again, it's relationships, connections, mm-hmm. collaboration. That's the thing. I remember I had a friend ask me on Facebook recently.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me a really pointed question. He said, Norbert, what was the one thing that was responsible for you building a seven-figure business with MLSP?
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I read that question, without thinking about it, even for a split second,
mm-hmm.
I typed in the answer, and the answer was partnership.
Partnership.
Absolutely. Because yeah. if you think that you can do this alone,
mm-hmm.
you can't.
You can't.
You can't. You're always working with somebody, whether it's collaboration, yeah. whether it's just in a community space, whether it's a mastermind,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's a direct partnership. You know, I attribute all of my success to working with other people.
Mm. You know, I think at this stage, I think some people, because over the past few weeks, we've had some, you know, partnership talks here and there. You know, David Wood had some situation, and even Ray Higdon, you know, and I think it's coming together. You know, as always, these things come together over time. I think what people are really having problems with is this long-term indefinite partnerships. But the truth of the matter is that we still have partnerships, even if it's short-term JVs. Even if it's a partner with GetResponse to take you on my list, even if it's, hey, you just do that for me, but it's still partnership at the end of the day, because there's no such thing as one tree making a forest.
Absolutely. And see, this is where, and this is another passion of mine and something that I'm really interested in. When I went through my divorce a few years ago, mm-hmm. I started to really study and look into relationships. because I realized, man, I don't know anything about relationships. I should maybe read a little bit about this and learn from some experts.
Before you get into one?
before I get into another one, because obviously they don't teach this stuff in high school, right?
No, they don't.
So, and I start to learn a lot more about relationships, and I realize now that, you know, the things that you learn about, you know, romantic relationships, right, are also very applicable to business relationships.
Right.
It's about communication. It's about ego. It's about being able to see the other person's perspective. It's about compromise, right? It's about being able to work together through different problems. But it's also about being able to separate or say, hey, you know what? We're going in two different paths. Maybe it's time to call it quits.
Yeah.
And that's cool. We don't have to get into a fight about it. We don't have to hate each other about it. We don't have to have resentment and bitterness about it. We can just accept the fact that, hey, we've got two different ideas now. We've got two different visions. You're cool. I'm cool.
Yeah.
Let's go two different ways.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, and that's a taboo for a lot of people, but that's where growth is for some people sometimes.
Absolutely. And why should it be? Why should it be taboo? Why should it be a wrong thing to break up a partnership? Why do we think that a partnership needs to be for life? And if I were to give one piece of advice in partnerships, do not enter a partnership without an exit plan.
Even if it's marriage. Is that what you're saying?
Ah. I have to think about that one.
I have to think about that one, right?
I'm not sure.
Ladies to death here, right?
Not sure about that one, but in business for sure. And even, you know, I speak from experience there as well, because me and the guys, we didn't have an exit plan. So when it came to that point, we were like, shit, what do we do now? We never talked about this.
You know, even in marriage, I get to say, man, you know, the truth is that the exit plan could be as simple as, I'm going to work on making sure the relationship is the best it's going to be. Just putting in the work on the relationship. It's not necessarily, an exit plan doesn't necessarily mean you're planning to exit, but you know, people do grow apart. It could be, you could be the cause of it and not even knowing because you're not educating yourself along the way. So if that's what something you want to call an exit plan, what is an exit plan to a dispute? What if you have dispute? Am I just going to yell at the top of my lungs at my significant other? Or I'm going to learn what is it that I could do to make this relationship better or to meet the other person up? So whatever that means, it takes a lot of wisdom, you know. So definitely. Now, you...
When you say that, because you brought up the you know, having a dispute and you know, creating a plan for how to deal with disputes, right? We actually had that in our agreement when we had a dispute. It's said in our agreement that we would have to take a vacation together for 3 days and talk about our dispute. You know, so there's a way to deal with when an issue comes up, when a challenge comes up, you have a plan for how you're going to deal with that. Hey, we're going to step back. You know, maybe we hire a coach or a mentor or a mediator, right? And that's another great tip is don't try to do it alone. Here's another place where a coach can come in.
Yes. Right?
It's the same in marriage and relationships. It's the same in business partnerships. You know, I'd love to speak with David and with Ray. You know, did you hire a coach or a mediator when there was a dispute in the partnership?
Right?
Because that's a perfect opportunity for an outside person to come in and help to mediate that dispute. Because you know, if you've got two people, they're both emotional about the issue.
Right?
They're both set in their ways. It's really important now to have a third party come in there and give some other perspective.
Right. Because we have human brains, man. We don't see everything.
No, absolutely not. And we've got emotions. That's the fiery thing.
Yeah. You know, I was giving an example. There was one day my wife just went by and I was just annoying for no reason. And I caught myself and I'm like, what's that about? Hola. Right? Now, that's the self-aware thing. Everybody does not have that.
But
I knew that something went wrong with my emotions in that moment in time. And people sometimes are just annoyed at each other, just staring at each other in the face in real life. And business is personal. That happens in business too.
Exactly. You can't separate business and personal. You know, like I know there's some old school people, old school entrepreneurs, to say, oh no, this is business and this is personal, and you can't separate the two. Business is relationships. Business is personal.
Yeah.
You can't separate the two. And that's why I think it's important to develop our skill in relationships and understand how to better deal with people.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we're in a sharing economy. Reason why we're talking and having this conversation, it's going to be content, it's going to be serving some people. You and I will benefit out of it long term. I'm going to be spreading the heck out of this all over the place, you know. And what's your take on that? You know, Uber just did some testings. You saw that?
Yeah, with the automated...
Yeah, people are saying they're taking all the jobs away. what do you feel about that?
I like Gary Vaynerchuk's perspective on this. You know, the market doesn't care.
You know, if Gary doesn't take an interview from me, I'm going to punch him in his nose. Because every single episode, somebody is mentioning his name.
Well, you know, he's big in the entrepreneurial space, you know, and he's got some really interesting perspectives. That's one of the ones that, you know, I don't agree with everything he says, but that's one of the things that I really do agree with is, listen, the market doesn't care. It doesn't matter what I think or what. The market's going to direct where technology takes us. Mm. Right, it's what people are going to buy, what people are going to purchase, what people want, and the market doesn't care if people are going to keep shopping at McDonald's, even though they've gotten rid of all the, you know, the staff, and they're going to have computers there fulfilling your orders.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it? You know, I mean, nothing. The market doesn't care. So we as individuals, we've got to, and this is why entrepreneurship is so important now and moving forward, and we have to continue. You know, spreading this word and getting people inspired about entrepreneurship, getting people to see that there's so many opportunities now with the internet, right? So that people aren't saying, oh, I lost my minimum wage job. And we can say, fantastic.
Good.
All these opportunities that have opened up to you.
Now learn something new. Right. You know, a word kept coming to my mind as you were talking about that. Energy. You know, energy is neither created nor destroyed. So also is jobs for human beings in this world, or skill sets, if you want to call it that way, or a new vocational skill or something, you know. It can move, energy can move from water to gas, but it's not destroyed. So it's your responsibility to find whatever that is in this next piece of your life.
Think about this. We talk so much about all the jobs that are lost, right? And all the technology is going to get rid of all these jobs. Okay. The app industry, the apps on our phones, they didn't exist 10 years ago.
Yeah.
The app industry is a multi-billion dollar industry that employs millions of people. It didn't exist 10 years ago.
Yeah. So obviously some new jobs just got created.
Or
jobs moved over there. Something.
Absolutely. So what new technologies are going to be created that are going to, new industries? I mean, this is a brand new industry that's been created that employs millions of people around the world. Mm. Those are all brand new jobs that have been created. So we cry about the ones that are lost, but look at the millions of new jobs that are being created, and that's going to continue.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you look at all the people that are making money on the internet right now because of Snapchat, YouTube, Vine, Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Those websites didn't exist 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That economy...
Social media manager position.
Exactly, right? So, you know, there's no fear. It's a mindset. It's a perspective.
It is.
You look at the world one way and say, oh my God, things are changing and we're all going to lose our jobs. Or you look at it from our perspective and we're like, oh my God, there's so much opportunity.
What are you up to now? What project is hot on your plate right now?
So right now I'm working on the Online Profit Playbook, which is a podcast where I interview top online playmakers, and it's exactly like this. And you know, I'm having a lot of fun with it as well, because it's giving me an opportunity to connect and reconnect with lots of different people online.
I get an interview spot on there, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, absolutely. Cool.
So that's kind of the big project I'm working on right now, and I've got some new ideas for it. And again, it's about collaboration. You know, a lot of these things that a lot of my ideas about business really have a lot to do with collaboration and community. And, yes. and that's really what I'm focused on there. And just helping new entrepreneurs get started in an online business. Okay. And then taking my brand outside of our little space.
Yes.
And going that beyond there. That's the goal for 2017.
That's a big deal for me. You know, we're doing some testing in Facebook advertising right now. And, you know, back in 2009, all you have to do is target other MLMers and then you build an organization, right? But again, just like energy, things have shifted.
Yeah.
Those guys get bombarded with deal every day, and it's hard. They just kind of turn you off once you make an attempt to pitch them on anything. So it's now back to talk to real human beings outside of this small little niche, right? And pick their interest into starting a journey in entrepreneurship and help them maybe even bring their passion to life without necessarily doing an MLM. You know, the whole idea of network marketing 2.0 means you can use network marketing as a model, not necessarily with a company. If you choose with a company, great. If you fall in love with a product, but it doesn't really have to be that because there's this big old space of internet marketing. You remember the SEO networkers debates with the old school
yes.
who were, you know, they were fighting it back then. They were trying to protect their downline from going on the internet. Good luck with that right now, right? Right? So we're here now. It's such a beautiful thing to just watch it play out. I mean, we're watching our life in our own eyes, literally. How many 7 years can you find in a lifetime? Probably a little bit more than 7 if you're lucky, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're literally living our life and watch human beings evolve into this beautiful thing, the sharing economy, the collaboration thing, the partnership, and it's still the survival of the fittest. You know, it's who can be ahead of the game, man. Such a beautiful thing, man. So that's the podcast is where we're going right now. So it's called the what do you call it again?
Online Profit Playbook.
Online Profit Playbook. Okay, it's going to be on iTunes. Where again?
It's on iTunes. It's on YouTube. Just go to onlineprofitplaybook.com and you'll get all the information. We've been doing it for a year now, so we've got 45 episodes.
Oh yeah. Wow!
And then what we also do inside the membership is we actually have our marketers walk us through their marketing process. So they actually give us their playbook. Right. So we actually see their playbook, the websites they're using, the ads they're running, mm-hmm. and the actual process they're using to get traffic, generate leads, and make sales.
Yeah. The niche needs to be bigger. It's such a small community. Everybody, I don't care what profession you're in right now, you're a marketer. If you're trying to sell your resume, you need to get good at marketing because that's how you're going to stay on the job.
Absolutely.
Unless you want your job to be replaced next month again. You know, so beautiful stuff. Where can people find you? I think you just answered that pretty much.
Yeah, so onlineprofitplaybook.com or my personal website, norbertonline.com.
Perfect, man. Such an awesome time, man, catching up with you.
Yeah, it's been fun.
They're going to love this.
Good time.
All right, guys. Hopefully you've been educated and enlightened. I will see you on the next one, and peace.
Hey, do you want my steps to six-figure PDF? Do you want that? Do you want my free ebook on how to make six figures income in simple steps? Simply go to networkmarketing2show.com. Networkmarketing2show.com.